The Radio Today programme with Audioboo.
Thank you for connecting with us again. It is the Radio Today programme. I'm Trevor Dan. We are Thameside today in the Mermaid Theatre at the next radio conference. We're going to try and talk to some of the best speakers throughout the day. Here's the best one so far, in my view. It's Jeff Lloyd.
But we couldn't find any, so here's Jeff Lloyd. That's hello, Trevor. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you. In fact, very entertaining speech, which you called...
People are idiots.
But you didn't mean that,
no,
did you?
No, I mean, I often find myself exclaiming that people are idiots. But I think there's a bit of a culture in radio of thinking of the audience as mouth-breathing knuckle-draggers. And I just think people are cleverer than you give them credit for. And even idiots have probably got a passion or an interest that would surprise you. And go back to the radio we grew up with, which is broadcasting to loads of people. That didn't matter. You could just go for an average. Whereas now, with all the different types of digital services and people seeking out content, it was about, like, how can you engage people without treating them like idiots?
I thought you made a very good point about how the fact that some of the most popular people, not the most niche broadcasters, Chris Evans, Terry Wogan immediately come to mind,
yeah,
are clever
and
don't underestimate their audience.
Yeah, I think, like, if you think of anyone from Stephen Fry to Chris Evans to Claire Balding or whoever, they are not the people that the market research people in suits would have said put on screen. You know, they're not Ken and Barbie, and they don't think in that very typical way. I mean, what's great about these voices, these talents, is that they've got their take on the world, and they talk about what's alive in them and how they see it. And that's the most engaging thing, I think, for a listener.
How are you going to react bringing all those kind of ideas into the corporate world of Bauer?
I know nothing of the corporate world of Bauer. I used to be there when it was EMAP, and they let me get away with it. But I haven't been invited for tea by Fraulein Bauer yet. I'm still waiting.
Do you know anything yet about what's going to happen to your world at Absolute?
No. It's subject to regulatory approval. Bauer have made nice noises about the great work that goes on at One Golden Square. So, you know, let's take them at face value.
What do you think is the value for you as a presenter, Jeff, of conferences like this? I mean, do you stick around? Are you going to take in some of the other sessions?
I've watched everything this morning, but I've got to go and let the dog out because my girlfriend's away at the minute. We're getting married in 2 weeks. So long story. But yeah, I've been to quite a lot of these, and I was thinking on the way here this morning, like, why do I do it? And I don't know. I just think I'm needy and I'm nice to be at. It's nice to be asked. So I just say yes because somebody wants me. I think that's it.
Jeff, thank you. One of the best presentations so far today at Next Radio has been by Jerry Jackson, who is from Zimbabwe, and you've set up the kind of anti-Mugabe, as it were, pirate radio station on the internet and on shortwave. It was a very brave story you told, a very emotional one. What would you like people to take from it, other than that's a great story?
I'd like everybody to actually just stand up for what is right in whatever situation they are in, because that's been the most disappointing thing to us, that the United Nations sort of gives Mugabe credibility recently by letting him host the UN tourism conference. Just stand up for what is right in whatever you do.
What's the attitude, do you think, in Zimbabwe to the BBC World Service?
I truly don't know, but I do know that before I left, there were a lot of people who did listen. And it's been made increasingly difficult because police have seized shortwave radios in rural areas. They jam signals, they jam us. I don't think they jam the BBC World Service. But I do think because of the intense suffering in the country and the particular issues that affect everybody, I don't know if much of the programming is that relevant. People are really struggling just to survive. So you kind of don't want to turn on the radio and hear, oh, they're having a nice football match in Nigeria or something. I don't know if it's that relevant.
So what can you do then? Because, as you say, you can't just depress people by holding a mirror up to the terrible circumstances that they live in. What does SW Africa do?
Well, you know, what really helps people is just to know that someone is exposing what's going on, to be witness to that situation, to expose the bad guys for exactly what they do. But I have to confess that as we go into the future, I'm not sure what we should be doing now. Electoral democracy is gone in Zimbabwe. No one believes in it anymore. So what is our role? There's no opposition. Mugabe's in for the next 5, maybe 10 years, till he's 94. what happens? What should we be doing? I'm not clear on that anymore.
But it is the most powerful medium still, isn't it, radio?
It is, but you know, Zimbabweans don't have much option. They're not going to rise up. They have two choices: join the bad guys to try and earn a living, or flee.
It was a terrific presentation, and we wish you every success. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
Staying in Africa, we've just had a fascinating presentation with a little dressmaking from Steve Martin, who looks after the BBC's interest in parts of Africa. And you were
No. Come on, Trevor. No. I didn't do the dressmaking.
No.
Please don't associate me and haberdashery.
You promised us a singer on the stage, and you brought on a sewing machine. It was very good. Very entertaining. But the point you were making was that there's a lot we can learn, I think, about the radio experience in Africa.
I think that's right, and I think what I find when I work in Africa for the BBC is a lot of people there using really imaginative ways to get value from radio in ways that we don't do in the UK.
Tell us about the mobile phone company that has its own station.
Yeah, well, this is in the Gambia, and mobile telephony in Africa is very, very competitive, but also the mobile phone sector is African radio's number one advertiser. But in the Gambia, one of the mobile phone networks there has gone one step further. They're not just advertising on the radio, they've set up their own station. And when you listen to Afri Radio, as it's called, it sounds like a well-programmed music station, but all the ads, all the promotions on it are for AfriCell's business, either talking to their consumers direct or indeed trying to incentivize their street crews, their vendors who sell SIM top-up, to exceed their sales targets.
I love the station that derives most of its radio from funeral announcements.
Yeah, in northern Ghana, there's a radio station, a community-based station called Radio Freed. And the radio station, as you say, generates two-thirds of its revenue from doing funeral announcements. They do them twice a day in three different languages. And again, it's a really good example of how radio can add value. Because in the north of Ghana, before the radio came along, if you wanted to announce the death of a family member, men would go around the community on bicycles, and it would take a really long time. And time is of the essence in a hot country with families who may not have access to refrigeration to help care for the body of the deceased. So that adds real value there in that community. And people pay £1.50 or thereabouts to have their funeral announcement on the air, which doesn't sound like a lot of money, but add all those up and it does account for two-thirds of the station revenue.
Before I let you go, I should give you a chance to explain what we were talking about earlier, the dressmaking on stage. What was that?
Well, there's a radio station in the north of Ghana called Fela FM. And you and I may, at some point in our history, have worn a station-branded T-shirt. Well, this radio station, because of the culture, has created its own printed African fabric. Really high-quality African fabric that you would get, cotton fabric from the north of Ghana. But it's branded up in the station colours, and it has the station logo woven into the design. So live on stage today, we thought, let's get a tailor up. So I've invited Zilla from Bijou Creative Design and Tailoring, who came along, and she made, within the 9 minutes of the session, a garment for an audience member. We did it live on stage, and I hope it was a lot of fun for people.
It's very entertaining. Thank you very much, Steve Martin. Well, I found co-organiser Matt Deegan, not to talk about the conference as a whole, Matt, on this occasion, but to pick up on Upload Radio, your surprise announcement, which we're not really allowed to talk about.
Yeah.
But in a couple of sentences, what's this?
Part of me wants to keep it secret, because we're not quite ready yet.
A bit late now.
Yeah, but I see everyone as being friends and family, and the reason I've talked a little bit about it today is I'm interested in feedback. We've had some quite interesting feedback from people we've chatted to already about it, and it's a new radio station where anybody can be a participant.
And so you pay a few bob and effectively buy an hour,
yep,
of the radio station, and you can put up, you know, the Trevor Dan Moody Blues show or whatever it is you want to play. What an awful thought that is. Cream show. Maybe.
Everyone has something that touches them. There's something that they're interested in. You know, what is their special music? And if you want to do a show like that, then that's cool. Yeah, that's what it should be.
And this would be on the internet, but also on the radio, on that DAB radio, where you've got a multiplex.
Yeah, so one of the things I talked about today was the value of the internet plus broadcast. And I think it's great there's lots of internet radio stations out there and that people can do podcasts or SoundCloud or Mixcloud. I think they're all great services. What we know in the UK is that 15% 10% of people listen to some form of internet radio each week, which is good, and I'm sure will grow. But when you add internet listening to DAB listening, so those two platforms together, 47% of the country consume some of that each week. And so we've talked a bit about in this day today at Next Radio about discovery. And actually, if you put some audio on the internet, it's quite hard to find it. You know, audio can be hidden away on radio stations, but, you know, people can just tune into a radio station. You know, radios mainly have one button on and then a volume switch. And I think there's something really valuable in that. And so one of the things we're thinking about with this project is broadcast means you'll be able to be found and discovered and stumbled upon. And we know that as radio listeners, everyone's got a program they suddenly heard on Radio 4 or whatever. Obviously, this is a new channel, so we need to make sure people know it exists and that they can stumble across it and stumble across programs. And we've got some kind of interesting ideas about that.
Well, yeah, we'll respect your requirement for not telling anybody about it.
Okay.
Thank you, Matt. There's nothing we like more on the Radio Today program than interviewing other people making podcasts. So, Helen Zaltzman, whose is yours for?
Oh, well, amongst the many podcasts I make, Trevor, in my portfolio, I'm making one for Sound Women, the radio lobby group.
Have you found enough women? That's always the problem at radio conferences, isn't it, that there aren't enough on the platform. There have been one or two today.
Yeah, a couple. But there isn't a queue for the ladies' loos, which is the real boon. I spoke to Jerry Jackson, who I understand you have as well. She was tremendously interesting. Yeah, and I'm hoping to speak to a few more, but it is quite a masculine audience as well as lineup, isn't it? And I don't know whether that is due to a lack of women available or women interested in performing at the Next Radio conference or just gender discrimination in the booking process.
I think I've noticed in the past year or so, since Maria really got Sound Women up and running, there have been more women on the radio. I mean, maybe it's just the Today programme that I'm noticing it on, but am I right?
I don't know. It could be confirmation bias, Trevor. You're thinking about it and then you start noticing all these women crawling out of the audio woodwork. But say Radio 2, the whole of the daytime really is gentlemen. I suppose now you've got the positive discrimination efforts where BBC is saying, got to get more women on breakfast and blah, blah, blah. And it's a shame, really, that it has to be a concerted effort, but maybe that is the only kind of effort that will happen. If you were in charge of everything still, what would you do? Or would you just leave it? Leave all these squeaky voiced harpies to silence?
Well, I think if I was running BBC local radio, I'm not sure I'd say in a very draconian way, there must be a woman on breakfast on half the stations by point X. I'm not sure that does that much good. But I think having a target has got to be right, hasn't it?
It's better than nothing. It's better than nothing. But you don't want it to be Blair's Babes type of situation where you do positive discrimination, get more women in, and then people complain because they're not up to it. Maybe they've been promoted above the experience they have because there's just not enough women to choose from. I don't know. It's problematic. It's problematic.
Well, thanks for being on the Radio Today programme, Helen. Am I now going to be on yours, or does it not work that way?
When we do the Sounds Trevor spin-off podcast, then you'll be on it every episode.
Thank you, Helen Zaltzman. It was a fascinating session earlier on this morning, delivered by Dan and Libby from the BBC. You work in one of those curious parts of the BBC that we don't know much about. Now, is it called BBC R&D?
Yeah, it's BBC Research and Development, R&D, that's right. And we're in a particular team within R&D that focuses on internet research and future services.
And you brought with you this little cardboard box, which didn't look superficially like a vision of the future, but turned out to be.
So the idea is that we've been knocking around an idea for ages to have a radio that would be able to play to your own schedule. And this access provider allows you to skip programs that you're maybe not interested in and maybe at one point suggest things that you might like to listen to instead.
Okay, so the Ambridge Avoider. This means it's a radio set that senses that the Archers is about to start and goes, no, give me Tim Westwood.
Exactly. So that's the dream that we're trying to work towards. We're doing very small prototypes, trying to go step by step towards that as an ideal. Yeah, we're making some progress.
Within BBC R&D, which obviously is not the same as BBC Audio and Music or Radio and Music as it now is there a lot of talk between the two of you about, you know, how content is best realised on what platform and what platforms work best for what sorts of content?
There is quite a lot of discussion, actually. We have a really good relationship with music, is it now? Radio Music, I think is the correct term. We have regular meetings with them, and we keep that relationship going because there's some extremely good people in there. So for them to know what we're doing and us to know what they're thinking of is really important.
Wish you all the very best. Thanks for talking to us.
The Radio Today programme with Audioboo.
In these days of interactivity with the World Wide Web, make it easy for your listeners to share their voices with you via Audioboo. They simply download the app to their mobile device, record a boo, and send to your station. It's that simple. And just to prove a point, this ad was recorded as a boo and sent in from the corner shop. Audioboo, sharing voices with the world.
It's the Radio Today programme, live from Next Radio 2013 at the Mermaid Theatre. And we'll have more after this.
And the latest from radiotoday.co.uk. BBC Radio 2 has a new schedule for the autumn. Sarah Cox gets a new Sounds of the 80s show, while Steve Lamacq sadly leaves the station. There's been a big change at Bauer Media, with all programme controllers or directors now known as content controllers across the north of England and in Scotland as well. And Andrew Harrison is leaving Radio Centre. He's been there for 7 years. He's off to start his own business. And that's the latest. For full details on these stories and more, see radiotoday.co.uk.
The Radio Today programme.
Welcome back to the Mermaid Theatre. I've found Matt Hopper here from British Public Radio. Matt, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you, Trevor.
You've just had your awards. How successful have they been from your point of view?
Absolutely unbelievable. We were bowled over by both the response and the quality of the results. And it just goes to prove what we always believed in our gut, that there are a lot of really talented radio makers out there that nobody knows about. Well, they do now.
Give us an idea of the range of programming that was sent in. We'll hear a little bit from the Gold Award winner in a second.
Well, we had everything from established podcasters like Helen and Ollie, Answer Me This, to guys that were making radio programs in their bedrooms, quite literally. Very, very good ones, too. Everything from comedy to serious drama and documentary. It was amazing.
Now, we can hear all the category award winners on your site.
Yes, everything that was nominated is available on demand. We're running all the winners on our programme stream, online programme stream, together with the results show that we produced as well, with comments from all the judges. And in fact, if you want to listen to every single piece of audio that was entered, you just go to the BPR Awards Audioboo channel and everything. Now, that's how all the audio was contributed in the first place.
There is some brilliant stuff, and the one I wanted to focus on was the one that won two awards, because as well as winning a news award, it's won your Gold Award. And this is a programme about sudden adult death syndrome. It's a very moving programme, and we can only play just the first minute or so. But could you introduce it and tell us a little about the woman who produced it?
This is called In a Heartbeat. It was produced by Bryony Harrison. Now, Bryony has just graduated from Nottingham Trent University, and she produced this documentary. It's only 10 minutes long, about sudden adult death syndrome, because one of her family friends died at the age of 21. She wanted to find out more about it, and this is the result. And it's simply amazingly well put together, and I think she has a big future in front of her.
Your child is not supposed to pass away before you. He's not supposed to work like that.
One minute he was walking, chatting, having a laugh, and then all of a sudden, he just completely, everything stopped.
We tried like mad to resuscitate him, and he was pronounced dead at Hillingdon Hospital early hours the next morning.
It was just nothing. Because we thought, you know, if he was in pain or had a heart attack, you know, he'd say, help me, Mum, you know, or something, or Dad, but nothing.
I can't understand, when you're so fit, why this happens to children.
When someone's lay in their bed and they've died of something like a sudden heart attack or something, they look just like they're asleep, and he looked like he was just asleep. And you can't really think, well, this person's dead, because they look too peaceful and you look too young. And then it's when you hug them and then you feel how cold they are, and there's just nothing there. One night to be
confused. Losing a young person is something no family should have to deal with. But what happens when their death comes completely out of the blue? Suddenly, without warning, in a heartbeat.
I'd love to stick with radio. I'm currently just working as a freelancer, news reading for a local radio station. But I'm really wanting to get more into the documentary side of things, the storytelling, the speech radio. So I'm just approaching people with it at the moment and just kind of seeing where it gets me. But yeah, just looking to the future, really hoping I can carry on working in radio would be brilliant.
That's Bryony Harrison talking about her extraordinary radio programme, which won the Gold Award at the British Public Radio Awards. And as Matt Hopper was saying, she was recently a student at Nottingham Trent University. It won an exceptional first, that. And here is one of the people, I think, can claim a bit of responsibility for that. Carol Fleming is the director of the Centre for Broadcast Journalism at Nottingham Trent. She's here at Next Radio. That is a fantastic piece of wireless, isn't it, Carol?
It was incredibly moving. She did such a good job finding the right people to talk to, and allowing them to talk and giving them space to talk. So often people are keen to just, you know, move the story on, and they're not allowing the real emotion to come through. It was absolutely excellent.
And symbolic of the fact that there is really strong talent coming out of the universities in radio courses and journalism courses like yours.
Absolutely. And I think it's because students are very media savvy these days. We're talking about them not listening to radio anymore. Maybe they're not listening to it traditionally, but they're accessing it nonetheless online and in other ways through podcasts, for example. So they are getting it. And a testimony to that is the high standard of all student work. The student radio work across the country is of a really good standard.
How's the number of students now? Is it going down now they've got to pay $9,000?
No, it's not going down at all. This year we've got almost 80 coming on the first year of the broadcast journalism course at Nottingham Trent. So, yeah, no sign of a decline yet, thankfully. Otherwise, I'd be out of work.
Thank you, Carol. John Simons, nice to see you back in the land of the living, post-GMG. John Simons, Simo Consulting.
Simoradio.com.
Very impressive. You were telling us how to do a breakfast show properly. I wanted specifically to ask you about what Jeff Lloyd had to say, because his thing all about, you know, authenticity and being real seemed to contrast a little bit with what you were saying, which was, no, there is a format and you can be squeezed into doing it in a kind of proper way, whoever you are.
I think what I was saying was that when you look at the real pros, they rehearse and they rehearse and they rehearse. And it sounds spontaneous and it sounds real, and that's what I was getting at, was that it doesn't come easy. There are one or two people who can do it off the cuff, but they're very few and far between.
So it's not about just turning up 5 minutes before the show and making it up as you go along, which a lot of breakfast hosts will tell you it is.
And there's only one or two that I've ever met that can do it. Kenny Everett was probably one of them.
Although he did a lot of prep, didn't he, with his little tapes beforehand.
Exactly, yeah. You know. But he was real, and he did stuff that was relevant and topical, you know. And how many years ago was that? So, you know, we don't have to look back that far to realise radio hasn't really changed that much. You just got to connect with your listener.
So I think what Jeff was saying was that you need to be yourself.
You do. You need to be yourself. You need to be real. We did a bit about preparing stuff from your real life, and you need to bring that to the listener, but it hasn't got to be me. You've got to include the listener as well.
It's a good occasion, this, John, isn't it?
I really enjoyed it. It's my first one, and I think the format of doing either 9 minutes or 18 minutes is really clever.
And no panels.
No panels. Nothing that, you know, you can't get bored because nothing goes on for too long. In fact, I wish I'd only done 9 minutes now.
Lovely to see you again. Take care.
Thanks, Trevor.
Well, Next Radio 2013 is pretty well finished now, and we've been ushered onto the stage to take drink with Arqiva, which is a nice thing. James Cridland is here, one of the organisers. Roy Martin, who you heard earlier doing the news, the editor of the radio
that
the
means,
Today
that,
thing.
That means I need to do the news now,
well,
doesn't it?
Does. It?
Tomorrow.
You've got to
yes.
go away and do it.
No, no.
And we also have the legend that is Larry Gifford from Radio Stuff, which is it's sort of the Radio Today programme for the US, is it?
They call me the Trevor Dan of the US.
Well, that's an insult to you, I have to say.
I'm terribly sorry to hear that.
Let's ask James what you've made of it. This is the third Next Radio, the biggest yet. Successful from your perspective?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, to get twice the amount of delegates that we did last year is fantastic. And particularly with the industry in the current state it is I think, great. And I think what's really nice is seeing so many different people from both across the industry, lots of commercial radio people, lots of indies here, lots of BBC folks here as well, and people from outside radio. And then, of course, people coming in from other countries as well. You know,
well, I've got a question coming in from a Mr. Gifford from the United States of America.
Oh, James.
Yes.
What was the biggest surprise of today's session for you?
I really liked Bruce Daisley's stuff from Twitter. He's a fantastic speaker. I've seen that. I've seen him talk in the past, and he never fails to get people thinking. So I really enjoy that. And also Peter from Denmark. Again, fascinating hearing this sort of 4-minute theory. I probably only think it's a theory, but the theory that you have to move on after 4 minutes because otherwise people get bored. It's a really interesting theory, and it was fascinating hearing that.
Doesn't say much for Stairway to Heaven, does it? Let's ask Roy Martin a couple of highlights from Next Radio 2013 from you.
A couple from me. Steve Martin, who's got a great surname, obviously, he did a great presentation. He said a singer was going to be on stage, and he brought out a sewing machine, and he did some sewing on the stage. Well, he didn't, but a tailor came in, did some sewing. You had to see it to believe it. I was tweeting all the sessions, but on that one I just said, not sure where to go with this one, so I'm not bothered. And the other one, not just saying this because he stood next to me, but James, one of his many presentations today, was talking about how easy it is to run a website with community content. And I'm glad he did that because there are so many radio stations that don't do easy content like that. And there's just no reason why they shouldn't, because it's so easy.
As we said, we've got half of the radio stuff presentation unit here because Deb's not with you.
Deb is not here. She's at home. She says hello.
Well, that's a disgrace.
You got the ugly side. Yeah.
Was the budget not big enough?
The budget was definitely not big enough.
A transatlantic perspective then from you. What did you make of the day?
Well, I found it very fascinating. I really enjoyed Jeff Lloyd and when he talked about, you know, if you treat listeners like they're stupid or like idiots, they're going to act like idiots. And if you treat them with respect and include them in the jokes, they'll be in on the jokes. And I really like that perspective that he brought to it. And of course, as a presenter, as a host, he was able to really entertain the crowd with his analog presentation.
Yes, because he had an easel, didn't he?
He had an easel and a pointer.
Do you want to pick out another session that you particularly liked?
I like Steve Martin's as well, not to copycat, but I really did enjoy that. I found it fascinating that he could make something like his travels around Africa so interesting. And what I found very fascinating in his presentation was when he talked about the companies that are buying these radio stations, like the Salt Company. It's buying a radio station, and now all the commercials on that radio station are for the Salt Company. And the programming sounds like a regular radio station. And I think that could be part of the future of radio.
Well, on that note, because we're always here to talk about the future of radio, I'm saying it's a very nice glass of red wine, courtesy of Arqiva. Thanks for having us, James.
Great, it's a great pleasure. Come back next year, if there is a next year.
I'm sure there will be. You'll make sure of it. And thanks for having us on your pod, and thanks for being on ours, Larry.
Thank you.
And we'll see you again next week. And next week on the Radio Today programme, we're going to be talking about tuning.
Oh.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Radio Moments, a Chris Moyle Show.
We start this week 4 years ago. Chris Moyles became the longest-serving breakfast presenter on Radio 1, beating Tony Blackburn's 2,072 days.
Anyway, who'd have thought this would be the longest-winning breakfast show on Radio 1? Not Tony Blackburn, that's for sure. He's sitting there, he's turning in his radio grave. Gotta love him. Morning, Tony. Gotta love him.
In recognition of Chris's achievement, he received a cake worth £125, and frankly worth every penny. Also, this same week in 2009, Sir Terry Wogan confirmed he was to quit Wake Up to Wogan.
And many of the listening population have spotted a report that next year I'm going to turn into Chris Evans. I hate to tell you, but it's true. I was hoping to break it to you, my loyal listener, more gently. I wanted to be the first to tell you. It's the least I owe you.
It's 21 years this week that the bird songs stopped and Classic FM began.
Good morning and welcome to Britain's first national commercial radio station. This is Classic FM. I'm Nick Bailey and this is George Frederick Handel. I was sitting in our first ever studios, located in a converted gin factory in Camden Town in North London. Now, for months, our test transmissions had consisted of birdsong, which had been recorded in our chief engineer's garden. Quite a clever ploy, if you think about it, because there was no copyright.
The launch of Classic FM with Nick Bailey this week in 1992. It aspired to 2.8 million listeners. Now it's double that. This week, in 1985, one of the first commercial radio closures and name changes. It was farewell to Radio West from Bristol.
In the meantime, and indeed for the last time, this is Mark Seaman on behalf of all the Radio West staff and presenters, both past and present, wishing you a pleasant Monday and all the best for the future. Can I also thank you for your loyalty and your listenership over the past 4 years.
The end of Radio West this week, 28 years ago. Test transmissions followed for a month before the launch of GWR. There's something about this time of year in Leicester. On the 7th of September 1981, it got its own commercial station for the first time when Centre Radio launched.
My name's Ken Warburton, and I'd like to share these few moments of history with you as we approach the start of daily broadcasting on Centre Radio.
Centre was to fail 2 years later and was the first station literally to go off air and call in the liquidators. The franchise was re-advertised, won by neighbouring Radio Trent, which launched a sister in 1984, back in the days when it was very rare for one station to own another.
And finally, Chris and Ron, who wish to extend from their 10th floor penthouse suite, complete with rubber plants, a warm and sincere welcome to Leicester Sound.
The launch of Leicester Sound from the detritus of Centre Radio this week in 1984. And it was 11 years later, in 1995, that Leicester got its first full-time Asian commercial radio station when Sabra Sound got its own licence, having broadcast on Leicester Sound frequencies for a generation. I remember recording those jingles on a rainy day in Manchester. Talking of which, this week sees the anniversary of the death of the chap who brought us that very jingle track and many other incredible jingles still being aired around the world to this day. His name was Bill Meek. His company dominated the jingle industry through the 60s. It was Pans. W-G-A,
Virginia.
Just a touch of the brilliant work of Bill Meeks, the founder of PAMS Jingles. Bill died this week in 1999. This week in 75, a small-scale BBC local radio experiment began. It was in Barrow-in-Furness and lasted a week. A BBC station which lasted rather longer was launched this week in 1970.
You're in tune with BBC Radio Manchester. Well, here we are. We've arrived. The newest sound around. After this sound, Ian Murray.
We have interesting programmes designed for every age. There'll be music from the hit parade, the cinema and stage. Lots of news and opinions, topical and witty, all from Piccadilly Gardens in the heart of the city.
The launch moments, how great is that? The launch moments for BBC Radio Manchester this week, 43 years ago. And staying in the Northwest this week in 1998.
Good morning, you're listening to Century 105 on Tuesday, September the 8th. It's 8 a.m. and a star is born.
Century 105, launching this week 15 years ago. They had a party outside in a big tent on Salford Quays. It's now Real Radio.
Newsbeat. Newsbeat Radio 1.
Happy birthday this week to Newsbeat. It was born on Radio 1 on the 10th of September 1973, hosted then by Ed Stewart.
Hello, darling.
Thank you.
Early presenters included Laurie Mayer and Richard Skinner. It was first heard at 12:30 during Johnny Walker's show. Also in news this week in 2002, the Radio Authority decided, after consultation, against the unfettered creation of news hubs because of, they said, concerns about the quality of news. When a breakfast show lasts 8 years, you know there's something special about it. This week in 2005, this chap began as host of the More Music breakfast show on Magic.
He was a station that had come from a station called Melody, where they played really old. It literally had been set up by a guy because there was a station called Light FM in New York that he loved. There wasn't anything like it in London, so he bought Lord, someone or other. He bought a station, set up Melody, and didn't care if anyone listened. Someone asked him, who's your biggest competitor? And he said, the Grim Reaper.
Foxy, who took over London's Breakfast on Magic 8 years ago, and he's still there. So, with Saga launching in Glasgow this week 8 years ago, Heart Three Counties headquarters opening this week 2 years ago, Global announcing it was to roll out the Capital brand this week 3 years ago, and David Hamilton celebrating his 75th birthday this week.
Good afternoon. Little foretaste of things to come there on the tea break today at 3 o'clock. We'll be playing...
Those are this week's Radio Moments. Radio
Moments! The Radio Today programme.